Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time for our Sustainable Singapore series. And you know, sustainable issues have really come into the forefront of the headlines recently.
Yeah, and we saw this reflected at the World Economic Forum in Davos, which had climate change as one of its key themes. Even the Oscars saw Best Actor winner Joaquin Phoenix recycling his tuxedo and also putting it in many of his acceptance speeches. He's been on the circuit. But right here in Singapore, there have been people and companies championing going green for decades.
Okay, property developers City Development Limited's ethos is conserving as we construct, and they've recognised the importance of making sustainability an integral part of their business since 1995.
And it's no coincidence they started their greening efforts 25 years ago, as that is also the year our next guest joined the company.
More recently, in 2017, CDL and Non-Profit Sustainable Energy Association of Singapore jointly created the Singapore Sustainability Academy. It's got quite a nice ring to it, I must say.
It has. It's the first major people, public and private ground-up initiative in support of the UN Sustainable Development Goals and Singapore's national goals to tackle climate change. And it provides businesses and the public sector with a venue for learning and collaboration on how to make sustainable development work.
So it's a net zero emissions building, which sits on the top of CDL's City Square Mall in Singapore, at Farrer Park District, and it also features smart energy consumption monitors, sensors that ensures it's constantly operating on optimal energy efficient levels.
Sounds very clever. Well, the opening coincided with the launch of a new movement called Women for Green, which, again, no coincidence, was founded by our next guest. It focuses on engaging and empowering women to champion positive change towards a more equitable and sustainable future.
On the line with us this morning is Esther An, who is Chief Sustainability Officer, City Development, and founder of Women for Green Network. Esther, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Is there nothing that you can't do? What amazing accomplishments you have.
Oh, well, we didn't have the crystal ball last time, but definitely, you know, we are really happy that we have taken the early starter, and today we are not fighting fire anymore. We are really integrating, you know, sustainability into our business strategy, not just mitigation, but adaptation as well, opening new opportunities and future-proofing our business. Yeah.
Esther, it's really interesting what you say, because you're talking about not fighting fire anymore. But can you walk us through some of the biggest changes and perhaps challenges that you observed over your career? It's been, what, 2 decades?
Mm-hmm. Well, 2 decades ago, I don't think any radio show will feature this subject. And climate change, sustainable development, or global warming, or low carbon were never a subject that, you know, really talked about so much as, you know, like it is today. And now sustainability has become a mainstream item on the political and even boardroom agenda. And these were not really common subjects that we, you know, would appear in any media or social media or any of the conferences and all that. But today, I would bet with you that every day you, you know, read newspaper, listen to radio or social media, there would always be subjects about climate change and global warming. Yeah.
Oh, you're very right, Esther. And you guys over at CDL have done quite a bit to integrate sustainability into things like your ethos, your operations, your growth strategy, and all this done since 1995. Tell us a little bit about some of the measures you put in place.
Yep. Okay. Well, in 1995, that was the year that I joined the company. And I was very fortunate to have a very visionary leader, the late Mr. Kwek Lin Ju, and he was the CEO at that time. And CDL was expanding quite rapidly at that time. Of course, not as dense as today. At that time, we were operating in about 9 countries, and today we're operating in 29 countries now. At that time, it was really, we still thought that it is the right thing to do, conserving as we construct, instead of causing negative environmental impact. So when we first started, it was more like a risk mitigation, improving operational efficiency and to mitigate potential reputational risks and all that. But over the years, we have become more proactive, and through adaptation, innovation, and, for example, committing to green building, even before Greenmark was launched, we launched our first so-called eco-condo in the early 2000, and we also established our own environment, health and safety policies and awards since early 2000. engaging our value chain, our contractor and suppliers to go green with us. And we even adopt, like, engaging the regulators and supply chain to talk about green building and sustainability impact and all that. So I think today it is a very common subject and everybody is you know, talking about it. But I would say that many companies are still in the, you know, early stages, and we really need to strategize and to really operationalize what we believe in, and not just talking but really action. And 2020 now is actually the beginning of a decade of urgent action towards a more sustainable world and towards achieving the global goals by 2030.
Right. Well, that's a good place for me to jump in and ask this question then, Esther. When we talk about the Singapore Sustainability Academy, then, what would you say over the time that, I mean, it's been open for, what, 2 years now, what would you say the real boots on the ground material impact of it has been, not just in terms of policy in the country on tackling climate change, but also, you know, for the person on the street living more sustainably?
Correct. Okay, how we actually come up with this idea of Singapore Sustainability Academy was that a lot of people talk about, oh, okay, let's build green, let's adopt sustainable lifestyle, whether in business or at home, you know, or at play. But a lot of people were like scratching their head, it's like, what could we do really, you know? So we come up with this idea and we got the support of 6 government agencies, including the National Climate Change Secretariat, BCA, NEA, and the Ministry for the Environment and URA come together to support this, and we engage 15 industry partners to come together to design and build this academy. One main aim is to engage more people to share knowledge, to build capacity and drive movement, building a bigger force for change and bigger force for good. And the academy is built to the highest level of Green Mark Platinum level, and it is a zero energy building because we have a whole rooftop of solar panels that have, you know, been supplying energy to operate the academy. And we also partner with a very established NGO called the Sustainable Energy Association Singapore, and they actually build green energy professional and through training and courses and collaboration. And for CDL, we have our own committee, you know, with the 6 agency to organize events and to engage partners from the UN level to the national level, public sector, business sector, and people sector, whether they are academic or youth. We come together to talk about issues such as, like, you know, zero waste, food security, circular economy, sharing economy, sustainable fashion, etc. So we want to have a bigger force for change, and no one organization or one person can drive change. So the academy, since it opened in June 2017, we have actually held and organized 370 over events as of today, and we have engaged, you know, tens of thousands of people that come to the academy to talk about all these issues, to support climate action, sustainable Singapore blueprint, and also the UN SDGs.
Yes, Esther, time to talk about girl power. So you founded Women for Green, this network, back in 2017. Now, it's meant to give or expand opportunities for women in the fields of green building, technology, engineering, and energy. Any chance you got a couple of real-life examples you could share with us?
So certainly, when we opened Sustainability Academy, we want to engage the business sector, the political leaders, and, you know, academic and youth and all that. But don't forget that building sectors are really male-dominated, and there are a lot of women working in the sector, but we wish to give them bigger voices and also presence, because actually women are decision makers, you know, at home. What do you purchase? What do you throw away? And how, you know, where to go on holidays and all that. Mm-hmm. So we feel that women are really a key driving force. Don't forget that in the business arena, many women are actually assuming higher position now. So we feel that, yes, it's about time we form a network of women to engage them, to encourage them, and also empower them with knowledge about sustainability, and for them to be our ambassadors. So we hope that they can help to amplify the knowledge about sustainable fashion, and sustainable diet, ecotourism, and reuse, reduce, recycle at home, at work, or at play. So the academy, the whole idea is we want to amplify. I reach out to 100 people in this training course, and I hope that these 100 ambassadors will amplify their voices to another 100, to another 100. That is how we really want to, you know, enlarge the force for good. And women are very good, you know, and persuasive ambassadors.
At home especially. They push sustainability at home, in my opinion.
Very much, very much, yes. So I completely and utterly agree with you. Thank you for saying it. Let's just talk about Singapore Budget 2020. It'll be revealed next week. But what would be on your budget wish list with all of the experience in the positions in which you're working when it comes to sustainability? What would you like to see?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, I was very happy when Prime Minister, you know, covered sustainability and climate change issues at the National Day rally. And I'm really happy that the leadership is very clear in Singapore. And we are already a well-known, you know, garden in the city, city in the garden. But in the area of businesses, and don't forget that businesses have the obligation to maintain profitable and return values to, you know, our investors and stakeholders. So in order to balance our triple bottom line, that is, you know, how to maintain profitable, not at the expense of the community or the planet, we do need support, and technology innovation can help us to move the needles and drive, you know, positive change towards lower carbon, you know, emissions and a green building. And I think regulations and incentives are key drivers to fast track change. So I wish that the budget could also, you know, incentivize or subsidize and help businesses to really operationalize, you know, sustainability into their businesses, whether it is large cap or SME, you know, which is actually made up the majority of businesses in Singapore. And we do need help, especially the SME, to raise awareness and also to drive action. I suppose, like I said, incentives, subsidies, and, you know, regulations can help move the needle.
All right. Thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with us this morning. Esther An, Chief Sustainability Officer, City Development, and founder of Women for Green Network. Esther, thanks and have a great week. Yeah.
You too. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Our Sustainable Singapore series written and produced by Brianne Lovell-Bolin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.